So this is it. We're at Parshas Shpatim, right? Like the long haul. The good news is that it's a lot of double parshios, so we're gonna blink and be in Bamidbar. So it kind of works. But anyway, in the meantime, Parshas Mishpatim. So I want to take a look at a beautiful idea I saw by Rabbi Sachs early this morning on the mitzvah that sticks out in our parsha because it's there twice. And not only that, but there seems to be like a reason behind this mitzvah that both strikes a historical chord and a deep-rooted psychological chord. And I think those are, you know, interesting ones to try to explore a little bit tonight. So the pasuk tells us, "Ger lo to nev lo tilchatzenu." The ger, right? What is a ger? So a ger is we use it as a convert, but it's not really that. We would say it's someone who is a stranger. But it's strange because we do have other words to use for stranger. We could use the word zar or the word nachri, which are more clear cut that what that means as far as a stranger.
Ger is more of a resident alien, so to speak.
Right, meaning it's... Yeah, meaning it's either a ger tzedek, which the implication is that his starting point is where he's, you know, an alien, for lack of a better word, right? But he's, because he's converted, he's now part of the community. Or a ger toshav, where the idea is that it's not his starting place, but it's his, where he currently is. He's choosing to live in the land of Israel while committing to the Shiva mitzvahs b'nei Noach. And he is saying that, like, I'm not a full-fledged member of your community.
And as opposed to Zara, which is really a foreigner and not a different category.
Right. So those are like where it would be clear that the person is not Jewish. Here, it could be that his starting point is not Jewish. It could be that his final destination is not Jewish, but whatever it is, ger lo toneh velo tilchatzenu. A ger, you cannot, basically, toneh and tilchatzenu have the same implication. You can't beat up on him, but the difference is toneh is verbally. You cannot make fun of him. And tilchatzenu is physically or financially abuse him. Ki gerim yitam b'yaretz mitzayim. Because you are... Because you were gerim, you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, the idea of taking care and protecting the ger comes up between 36 and 46 times in Chumash. So God is really hammering home an idea here that, like, the alienated people you have to take care of. So the first question is, why does God make it such a big deal? Why are we so serious about that? So that's our first pasuk. Kol almana v'yatom lo ta'anun. Not only the ger, but also a widow and a orphan, you're not allowed to afflict. Im anei taneuto, and if you do that, kim tzaoki tzake lai, shamo eshma tzakato. And then they cry out to me. God says, I'm going to listen to their voice. I will kill you. I'll get angry at you. I'll kill you by sword. And your wives will be widows and your children will be orphans. So Rashi points out that that's not necessary to write because obviously when someone is killed, their family, right, their wife and their children become those things. So why does he have to write it? So Rashi says it's to tell us that actually the punishment is worse because they'll become an aguna, so she won't be able to remarry, and the kids will be yisomim, but besafek, and therefore they can't collect inheritance.
Why can't they just say it's to highlight the bida kenegad bida?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you could say that too, but saying Rashi is...
Why is that not good enough?
Rashi is bothered by the fact that it seems unnecessary, right?
Why, like, why is it not taking care of our own first billing and the ger is first billing?
Well, I think that's the ambiguity about who a ger is anyway. Meaning, is it really like not our own? Meaning, is a convert not our own?
Well, the comparison is because Geir and Ma'isim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, we were not Mitzrayim. That's the exact parallel that he's using in the pasuk.
I hear. Okay, so you want to know why that doesn't come?
Why is that first as opposed to taking care of your own? Or is it that it's easier to do that, so let's address that one first, and the second one's harder to do, we'll address it second, but I don't know, just...
I mean, I was going to say the opposite. I was going to say that it's more... I think people have a more sympathetic tone to an alman and a yasom than they would necessarily for a ger.
So, put it first.
No, I'm saying if you have a more sympathetic tone, it's not as necessary to write it. I mean, that's what I would... That's if I had to come up with an answer on the spot, that's what I would say.
Not only that, it almost implies that don't be bad with the ger. But if you're bad with the almana and the yasom, I'm going to make your kids almanas, you know, your family almana yasom. It doesn't say that by the ger.
Okay.
I mean, so that kind of almost makes it that it's a bigger deal with the almana and the yasom. Again, it should have been first.
I hear. Yeah, I mean, Parshas Mishpatim is tricky that way. Like, when you read through it, you kind of sit there and are like, I don't know, like, what is the flow? Like, we start with... Man. The Eved Ivri, the Amal Ivriya, and then we go to this and we go to that. Like, I don't know. I mean, you could spend a lot of time trying to figure out the order of it. Right. I mean, Rabbi Sacks says that he, and I didn't look at it because I cut off like a lot of psukim in between, but he said that it bookends. Like, Parak Chaf Bet Chaf is Ger, and Chaf Gimel Tet is Ger again, and everything in there in the middle is social justice. And he says, like, why is it... His question is, why does that matter so much? Like, why do we spend so much time on the ger? Which really is our question for tonight to try to figure out. Like, why the strong emphasis on the ger? We're not really going to talk about the alman and the yasom, but I think that they're, like, it's all lumped in together because those are people who are more vulnerable. Again, like, the reason why the punishment is more severe is because... The ger has at least some potential to take, you know, care of himself, but the alman and the yasom are really like the ultimate people that are like left out in the cold, and for someone to take advantage of them is really like pretty bad. So what does Rashi say? Ki gerim hayitem imhoneto, if you were to give him a hard time, afu yachol lohonotcha, he can give it right back to you. If you're gonna say to him, "Hey, you're a convert. You don't really belong here," he's gonna say, "Guess what? You were there, right? You're in the same boat." And so he says, "Mum shebecha al tomer lachavercha. Whatever you have as your mum, whatever you have as your blemish, right? You should not say to your friend. I'm sorry." Kaloshon Ger Adam Shalono Lad Beota Medina El Ba Mi Medina Acheret Lagur Sham. And Rashi points out, what is a Ger? It's someone who is not born in that place, right? So you have someone, right, that's not a natural resident of the area, and we would say he's a Ger. Okay, so now let's take a look at Chav Gimel Tet. So it says the Ger Lo Tilchatz. You cannot give the Ger a hard time, physically or monetarily. And you know the soul of the ger. You know what it's like to be a ger. Why? Again, the same thing. You were gerim in Egypt. Okay. And you have 6 years, you'll harvest the field, and you're going to gather the grain. And in the seventh year, you'll leave it. Unitashta, v'achlu avyonei amecha, and you'll leave it alone. And the poor people will eat of your nation will eat there. V'yitram tochal chayata sadeh kein taseh l'karmecho l'zeitecha. And the leftovers will be eaten by the animals of the field. And that's what you have to do in your vineyards and in your olive groves. There's two questions I think that should jump. Well, one should jump out at us in this pasuk, and one I think is just an interesting observation. So, the question that I have is, what's the connection?
It has a vav in yud.
Meaning that it's connected.
To the pasuk before.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So that, but right. I think that underscores the question. Like. Right. What in the world do they have to do with each other, right? How do you get from the ger to Shemitah?
It's talking about leaving for the poor and the outsiders, and that's what you're doing in the seventh year. You're leaving with those people.
Right. So that's the other problem with this pasuk. When it talks about Shemitah, it says v'achlu ev yonei amecha, that the poor are going to eat from your field. But that's actually not how Shemitah really works, right? Shemitah really works that everything is. I'm super pumped because I have never been in Israel for Shemitah, and I've always wanted to be there. Like, I have grand plans of going into...
You walk around with a little plastic bag because you can't just throw out those people.
I know. That's like my... That's not my grand plans. That's like where it's going to be like, oh my gosh, every time we eat, we're like... It's a game changer, but I've always wanted, like this, since I'm 18 years old and I walked into Shalavim for the very first time and I smelled it. And if you've never been to Shalavim, just picture like strong farm smell. And it's like, and Shalavim happens to be, even though I didn't learn there, but I spent 9 Shabbosim in 2 years in the community next to Shalavim. So it's like beautiful there, like gorgeous, like one of my favorite places in Israel. But I was never there for Shemitah, and I always had this like dream, like you walk into the field and you're like, it's right, buddy, this is our field this year, and you take whatever you want. It's great. That's Shemitah. And my favorite Dvar Torah and Shemitah, I heard this from Rabbi Penner the very first time I heard him speak, is that the whole purpose of Shemitah is to create like equality, that it's the first time that the poor person and the wealthy person walk into the field, and each of them feels like, well, more for the poor person, but we're equals today. But why does it say v'achlu av yonei amecha? It's everybody should eat from the field.
I think it's more of a chiddush or whatever. It's more notable at the
Yom Kippur. Right, so I guess the poor, it's more beneficial to the poor person. I mean, the rich guy in an agricultural society that has silos and silos of year 6 produce and year 5 produce doesn't sit there and be like, okay, shoot, today we got to go down to the field and pick up some wheat, right? He's like, forget it. He's like, I'll take the old stuff. It's going to be fine. And the poor people. So maybe like from a tachlitic perspective, right?
It's not notable that rich people, even middle class, are eating. It's
right. Again, the only question is that Shemitah is not meant for the poor. It's meant for everyone, as opposed to like, you know, you want to talk about leket, shikcha, and peya. That's meant for the poor people. That's supposed to sustain them. But okay, it's definitely could work. But again, what's the connection? How do we jump off from ger to Shemitah? And then we say, sheisha imin tasem asecha, uvayom ashvi'i tishbot. 6 days a week, you work. And on the seventh day, what happens? You rest. In order so that your cow, your donkey, your people can rest. And interestingly enough, I didn't notice this before, but who finds himself in that list? The ger is in there. But where did we go from ger? Surely's not happy. It's just not happy.
No, it's not in the row. It's my Yenuach Shorcha V'Chamecha is one thing. Yenuach Hashpen Amascha V'Ger. I guess it comes after Ben Amsecha, but yeah.
Yeah, so the Almana, she comes last.
I'm saying, but it could have been. Then Leman Yenuach Shorcha. It could have been Leman of Yenuach Ben Amascha V'Ger. And Yenuach Shorcha V'Chamecha. It could have switched around.
Yeah, all right. It's, wherever, if you say Achron, Achron Chaviv.
Yeah.
Then no. If you say that, then it's a question on the first one. Why does the ger, right? I guess if you say Achron Achron Chaviv, that could answer. Okay, so then yeah, that could work. All right, I don't know, but where do we go from ger Shemitah Shabbos, and then Uvechol Asher Amarti Lechem Tishameru, and everything that I tell you, you should listen to. V'Shem Elokim Acherim Lo Taskiru Lo Yisham Al Picha. Don't mention God's name in vain. Shalosh regalim tachogli bashana. 3 times a year you got to celebrate with me. I mean, that's like a mind trip if I ever saw one.
I don't know. The, 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 the,
Shame
Elohim
Acherim
is not totally crazy. Other gods? Shame Elohim. Oh, probably. Shame, I'm sorry. Probably Shame Elohim Acherim Utaskiro Lo Yishon Picha. Yeah, you're right. Sorry. And all other gods you should not mention. Okay? So I don't know where that one comes in. Right, Shemitah to Shabbos makes sense. Like, there's a correlation. Right, what Shabbos is to us is what Shemitah is to the land.
And then Shabbos to Shlosh Regalim is also...
It's not a direct line there either. The Shabbos is something in the middle legal also.
Your Gimel is between the two.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with your Gimel.
But, like, a central idea to Shabbos is belief that Hashem is control of everything, and what you really need to do, especially during... if you're worshiping idols, then you can't be really into Shabbos. So I mean,
I think that right.
Saying best buddies, they're cousins. The ideas are cousins.
Yeah, believe that. There, I'm going to try to remember to write that down because I like your and I'm gonna, it won't say Lamed Ayin Dalid, like, which is where I, know that I'm writing my own stuff, but maybe I'll put like Steve Toplin in, because I actually think that works. I think there is a lot of that, like, even in the relationship with the Ger, there's this recognition that, like... It's true, but it does seem to work more clearly with these. I actually was going to say the following, which I can't tell you how Yud Gimel works into it. So, like, you can choose to throw it all out, or you can try to help me fix it up, or you can say it's a cute vart. I don't know if it's more than that. But I think that the Ger is obviously the most vulnerable of people. And I think that if you think about it, where is the Ger going to be most vulnerable? He's going to be most vulnerable in land and in Shabbos and Yontiv. Right? Meaning, like, those are times that, like, we are celebratory. And, like, when we celebrate, who do we celebrate with? Like... We celebrate with our friends and family. And that Ger finds himself in this, like, very uncomfortable position where he or she doesn't really have a connection. He or she doesn't really have a place. So I think that, like, where the Ger feels towards the land is also where it feels towards the holidays and Shabbos. And that's why the Torah is saying to you, it's Dafka at that point that you have to be, like, aware of that.
Where did Gerim live? Meaning, the land is divided into 12 groups, and if John Smith said, "I want to become a Jew," he's not part of any shevet. So,
right. So there are cities, right? Like, even back then, there were cities, and in a city, it's not land per se. So you could have someone who says, "I'm building, on my property to have housing or whatever that I'm going to rent or sell or whatever." But also, if the Ger is an interesting, like, person, because what if the Ger come, like, I don't know, some, like, multi-billionaire decides to, like, convert tomorrow? He's not coming in with, like, the, "Oh my God, this is rough. Like, I don't have any means." He'll have plenty of means. So there's going to be a different, like, bend to his discomfort, but it's no guarantee that they won't be able to afford to buy land. And then the only thing is that the land won't stay with them forever. So if they buy it at Yovel, they're going to lose it. But
what was the preface to this, I guess, the little mini parsha in regards to Eretz Yisrael? This was
Chav Gimel Tet.
Yeah, because. Yeah, obviously Shemitah is dependent on Eretz Yisrael, but Shabbos is not. Yet they all flow one right into the other. So I'm just kind of curious if it was mentioned before that, when you arrive in the land, this is what should happen. But otherwise, the whole concept of Shemitah is even more confusing.
Well, I think it ties in well with what Steve said. This is the first time they're going to have land ownership. And how many times, at least, it says at least once in the Torah, where they're going to say, "Oh, Kochi vod some yivat some yodis." So God is telling them, you have to remember, with everything here, all these psukim, that it's from me. You were Gerim and Mitzrayim. I brought you out. Now you're going to have land, but you got to let it rest for a year. You got to let the poor people take it. Don't worship any other idols. It's me.
There's no other reference to Israel before that. Meaning, most of the stuff that we see is not Israel related or connected, right? Just to go back to, let's see, Ger was in Pasuk Chaf of Perek Chaf Bet, so we see that, and then we're told Im Kesef Tal Ve'Tami, right? Renting, right. Lending money, the idea of interest. Not taking the person's clothing as collateral. Don't curse Elohim, either God or the judge. Take care of Mleyat Chavidim Achalot Te'acher. Okay, so that's like the maybe you can, like that's sort of like giving certain Trumos and Maisos Bikurim. So that's like a reference to the land. But after that, Anche Kodesh Tunli, Basar Basa Trefa, give it to the dog. Like, that's not Israel related per se. Don't say God's name in vain. Majority rules. Or don't go after the majority if it's for bad stuff. Take care, don't favor the poor, the animal that falls down and all that. And perversion of justice. So there's not really. Israel
I was curious, but my thought process, and again, not fully thought out, but it's just, these are all concepts that are Jewish. And therefore, if you're a ger, you're not familiar with these. And when you talk about what is the definition of a ger, you're coming from another land. But I don't think he necessarily meant Eretz Yisrael versus not Eretz Yisrael. He's really talking about a different culture or a different region. And that's why I was kind of asking if it was specific Eretz Yisrael or not. And I think maybe there's some value to contrasting the Ger's perspective and or paralleling to saying the message is, remember, it's all from Hashem, but that these are concepts that the Ger naturally doesn't get. And it may be an influence to, again, Kol Chiyadi, whatever other god there is. You know, I need rain, I'm going to pray to the Nile. That these are other distractions along the way, and you have to balance the two.
Right, it's a good idea. The only question I would have on it is, it seems as though the emphasis is not on the ger, but yeah. It's like you, the people that are in gerim, like make sure that you're taking care of the ger.
But in both cases, it's the intro to what follows. So it's almost like the opening, and we were questioning why, but you talk about the almana and the yasom, but the ger came first. We're talking about this group of mitzvahs, for whatever reason, whatever the relationship is to them, but the ger is first.
Well, actually, it kind of makes sense. If you were concentrated on the most foreign person in the group, then the widow and the orphan, who are people who grew up in that community, whose status has changed, you already have affinity
on that one. Okay, how does that work with Shemitah and Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
the same thing as the saying is, if you take care of the most ostracized part of that group, which is the ger, the most outskirted person, then the other one should fall into place.
I mean, certainly, is true. Like, if you're taking, if that's the ideal, then hopefully everybody else is being taken care of. I've always noted, in working with kids, that kids tend to not always be so nice. It's true. But what's fascinating about kids is, kids tend to have, a very, clear demarcation. It takes a lot to make fun of the kid in the wheelchair. Right? If there's a glaring disability that someone has, most kids are good people at their heart and won't do that. And I think that the kid that tends to have the hardest time is the kid with the disabilities that are not so clear for everyone to see, whether it's a social disability, whether it's a learning disability. Those are the kids that everybody takes pot shots at because it's easy and it's hard to feel sympathetic to them. I think what the Torah is doing is it's saying take a look at this person. Okay, this person, in all likelihood, at least in the society that they were coming from, he or she is going to be most ostracized. If you could just be good to them, well, then that's a starting point. I guess it's not like kids. There's no guarantee that that will help for, quote unquote, regular people, but at least it creates a vision of what can be. So why do we care so much about the ger? The Torah tells us, ger, like, leave him alone, ki gerim yitam mitzayim. So the Ramban offers two possibilities. He says, v'tachshov she'ein lo matzil miyadcha. I tell you, don't bother him, because you're going to think that nobody's going to save him. Right? He is the person that's so easy to pick on because there's nobody there to protect him. But you should know, ki ata yadata shehitam gerim be'eretz Mitzrayim. You were gerim in Egypt. V'ra'itit alachatz asher Mitzrayim lo chatzim etchem. And you remember, and you saw, remember, this like pasuk is being told to the right, like they're that right. We're reading it from the vantage point of thousands of years later, but from the first people that heard this, it resonated because for them they're like, whoa, wait, hold, yeah, I get it. So you know what Egypt went through, vasiti bahem nekama, or I should say, you know what Egypt did to you, vasiti bahem nekama, and I came back and took vengeance for you. Ki ani roeh dimata ashukim asher ein lahem menachem u'miyad oshkeyem koach. I see the tears of those that suffer and that have no one to comfort them, and I take care of them, says God. V'ani matzil kol adam miyad chazak mimenu. I take care of the people that are that are oppressed by stronger people. God says, and also don't think it's any different, but the almana, the yatom, I hear their cries. Those people don't believe in themselves because they have no power to believe in themselves, but they believe in me. And that's, I think that's, like, it's tangential, but you know, why does God stress kim tsaoki tsake lai? They're going to cry to me. Because what God is saying is their tfilos are going to be much more powerful and much more raw than the typical person. So when they cry, yeah, I'm going to listen. Because what they're saying is coming from their heart. And they know that the only way it's going to get better is if I help them. So that's the first part of the Ramban. The Ramban is saying, you might think that there is that these are people that you don't have to worry about. These are people that you can abuse and do whatever you want. God says, I will take care of them. I have their back. And then the second pasuk, it says that you know the spirit of a ger because you were gerim in Mitzrayim. Kolomar yedatem kil kol ger nafsho shveila alav. You know that the ger's soul is low and he cries out to me and he's always looking to me and I will have mercy on him. So God's saying there's two parts to it. One is I will mete out justice if you take advantage. The other one is I have rachmanis on him. It's not far off from what you yourselves went through. So that's Ramban. What does the Or HaChaim say? The Or HaChaim says a totally different answer. It's the Or HaChaim. It's a little bit like mystical and whatever, but we should understand that the souls of the Jewish people, our souls have a root in holiness because we're the sons of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And therefore, we might, and we see this. We definitely see people that do this, right? You see people that, what do? They don't care about the honor of other people that are not Jewish. Why? So they're not one of us. We think that they're lower than us. I say, I'm so holy. Who is this guy? What is this person? Look at where they are. And that leads to ona'a, which is abuse in our words. So God says, remember, once upon a time, you were gerim in Egypt. Don't think you're so special. God wants us to remember that our roots are not quite as holy as we make them out to be. Our souls were not as lofty as we want to make them out to be. So if you think about it, you look at the ger, you look at us, our starting points are not all that different. So everybody has God, God is basically saying is, why do you care where we came from? Don't judge a person where they came from, judge a person where they end up. So it doesn't matter, okay? So the ger was not so lofty in where he started from. God says, I just want to remind you, you're not from the finest of stock either. Okay, that's Or HaChaim. And that's how he says, that's how he explains why the focus is on ger. So I want to share with you Rabbi Sachs's idea, which I think is really amazing. Rabbi Sachs will often use Bereshis as the springboard for so much of what we are as a people. One of the beautiful ideas that he has is he'll follow siblings through Sefer Bereshis, just to make it clear that siblings in Sefer Bereshis don't do so well. And then he'll lead us to Moshe and Aaron and say, look, Ephraim and Manasseh were getting there, right? Because Ephraim wasn't upset that, I'm saying Manasseh wasn't upset that Ephraim superseded him. But we don't know that he's happy. And then we see Aaron, and it says, V'rachav esamach b'libo, right? We say, look, that's a madrega. So what is Bereshis all about? So let's take a look at the very first travel of Avraham. Avraham leaves Haran, he comes to Canaan, he ends up in Shechem, and everything seems okay. And then we're told, Vayirav ba'aretz, Vayir Avraham mitzrayim alagur sham ki chaved rav ba'aretz. There's a famine in the land, and Avraham goes down to Egypt to live there. Why? Ki chaved rav ba'aretz. Because the famine was strong in the land. As he gets closer to Egypt, he turns to Sarai and says, you know, I just realized you're a pretty woman. So, and if the Egyptians see you, they know that you're my wife, what will they do? They'll kill you, me, and they'll let you live. Tell them that you're my sister in order so that they'll be good to me and let me live. I don't know. Maybe it's one straight thing. They'll be good to me and I will live. But if it's and they will be good to me, like I will profit off this and I will live, I don't know. That might not be the best thing to say to your wife. And he comes down, they see her, she's pretty. She's taken to the house of Paro. Avraham leaves Haran. What was Avraham in Haran? He was a Toshav. He's a man of the land. Everybody knows him there, even if you don't, you know, have to go into midrashim of how famous and how wealthy and how influential and powerful he was. It was home. And home is something special. And where does he come? He comes to the land of Canaan, and right away he's already wandering, and then he ends up in Egypt. In Egypt, he fears for his life. His wife has to be, you know, has to pretend that she's not his wife. She gets kidnapped. And wait a second. The story repeats itself. Avraham does it a second time when he does it with Avimelech. And then Yitzhak does the same thing with also Avimelech. The only difference is that Avimelech's like, wait a second, I know that game. Your family. So he watches, but he doesn't do anything. Avram is a ger. Yitzhak is a ger. Yaakov is the ultimate ger. And it's Avram's words. What does he say? He says, ger v'toshav anochi machem. He admits when his wife Sarah dies and he's looking for a grave, what does he say? I've been here for 60 years. Right? 62 years at that point. He's been in the land of Canaan. And what does he have to show for himself? Nothing. Doesn't own a piece of land. And he can't even say, I live here. I'm a ger v'toshav. I'm not really one of you. Says it by Sachs, the whole purpose of Sefer Bereishis is to show that the truth is Avram was a ger. Gerim are vulnerable. Gerim are not loved. Gerim feel uncomfortable. Take a look at the last source. Vayasimu lo levado v'lam levadam. This is by Yosef. Yosef is feasting with the brothers, and it says that they put his food, Yosef's, and their food separately. V'lamitzrim ha'ochlim yuto levadam. And the Egyptians that ate with them were also eating separately. Why? Ki lo yuchlu na'mitzim lechol ta'ivrim lechem ki toiv lahil mitzrayim. Because Jews couldn't eat. Ivrim couldn't eat bread with the Egyptians. Why? It was an abomination to Mitzrayim. How many Jews are there in the world at that time? 70?
Which says because they were meat eaters.
Okay, right, but they're ostracized.
Because of the way they eat. Okay. Jews.
No, it says,
well, when we looked at this pasuk, we asked the question. And we said, yeah, because they were eating meat and the Egyptians were vegetarians.
So they were
comfortable, and so they were repulsed.
And that's an answer too. It's just tonight we need a different one. Right? The pasuk at first glance and at the most simple level is telling us what? The Jews were gerim. Rabbi Sachs says that's the whole message. That's where Avram is at. Bnei Yisrael were born, and this is brilliant. Bnei Yisrael were born from two great moments. Where is the birth of the Jewish people? Avram, okay, good. That's one possible place that we were born. Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? So the Bnei Yisrael as a family unit are born by Avraham, and the nation of Bnei Yisrael are born at Yitzias Mitzrayim. What's amazing about both of these moments is, where did Avram leave? He left Mesopotamia. He left the richest, most sophisticated society at the time. And where does he go? Canaan, some backwater land, right? That was not developed, was not ready. That's where he goes. The Jewish people, now fast forward a few hundred years, where do they end up? They're now in the most sophisticated society.
Till God had his way with them, but yeah.
And where do they go? They leave there. So Rabbi Sachs says, we leave powerful areas because they're not good to people. Mesopotamia was not necessarily a place that was kind to all people. Yes, it was kind to maybe some people, but not all people were created equally. They go to Egypt. Egypt was a slave society where it wasn't kind to very many people. We leave and forge ourselves as a nation on the premise that we protest the mistreatment of minorities and weaker people. And God tells us that we need to know and love the stranger. Why do we have to know and love the stranger? because we were a stranger once upon a time. And we appreciate what the stranger is. And if the stranger is not human or is any less human, then so are we. And that's the message that God wants the Jewish people to hear, is that to be successful, we have to look at people and say, we're all people created in the image of God. And that's something that we could appreciate from our starting point, but God also needs our ending point to be leaving those societies to create our own society. And in that society, the ger is going to be, and the mistreatment of the ger is going to be woven into the fabric of the Torah 36 to 46 times, so that forever we'll hear that. And I think that it's a really important message for us, because once we left the land of Israel, we spent nearly 2,000 years wandering from one place to another. We were gerim again. And I think that it's embedded in the Jewish DNA that we are always on the lookout for how we could do better for other people. How can we make sure that the ger is taken care of? That's who we are. And I think that that comes so much from the deep historical and psychological reasoning behind it. I would just leave off with one idea, which I think is an important one, on this note. The beginning of the parsha is Ve'ela Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefneim. Ve'ela. Why do we need the double language of Ve'ela? So Rabbi Rasner has a beautiful vart. He says that the Ve'ela is what Rashi points out, is to let us know that just as like Sinai happened at Sinai, the Aseres Adibros, everything in Mishpatim happens from Sinai also. It's like, why do we need that? So he says the reason why we need that is because a lot of these things that we're going to learn in Mishpatim are things that are intuitive. And the truth is that most societies have some way, shape, or form made it a part of the fabric of their societies. Because the difference is, though, that we as Jewish people say the reason why these are part and parcel of our religious, of our daily life, is because the word emanates from God. And because it comes from God, it's not open for our interpretation. Right? All men are created equal. So long as, right? That's what thousands of years of history were. If we believe it's by God, then there's no interpretation other than the interpretation of God. God says, Ger lo tonev, who are we talking about? We're talking about lowly people, but God says that there has to be equity even amongst them. And so many times throughout the Torah, we see that the mitzvos are built that way. I think it's a message that, yeah, you have to take care of the ger, but you have to understand that it's coming from God, as opposed to just doing it to feel good about yourself. Because if you're doing it just to feel good about yourself, then you're going to make the distinction between, I like that gear, I don't like that kind of gear. But there's a certain need to be open and to embrace all of humanity. But again, I think it's with the recognition that this is a divinely ordained mitzvah.